Well, it's rare, but the Lord has a permission to do this. But so I'll change my title. So, and I don't have all the notes for it. So, guys, just kind of flow with me. Okay, praise God, hallelujah, amen. And so today, as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive communion, He has this theme, and we'll pick it up on Wednesday night. But today's theme is watch out for the thief. Watch out for the thief. The Lord's been dealing with me for a large portion of the week, I would say from Thursday till today, about this understanding. But I thought it was more for Wednesday night. And so we don't want you to miss Wednesday night, because we're going to talk a little bit more detailed about this. And we'll kind of touch base on it on Tuesday if you're on our prayer time. But watch out for the thief. Watch out for the thief. So we're going to start off where the outline starts, but then I'm going to deviate, guys, and just kind of flow with me a little bit. And y'all believe with me?
Yes, amen.
There's something that God, Lord wants to get out that, you know, it's not limited to what I know. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to get out and convey. Okay, 3 John 2. He said, "Beloved, I wish that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Amen. How many believe that? God wants you to prosper in all things. And then, of course, Psalms 35:27, "Let them shout for joy and be glad and favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Amen. God takes pleasure in our prosperity. Moffat's translation says that God loves to see his servants prospering. Mm-hmm. Now, notice the word prosper is in there twice in these verses, two verses. And so the thing that the Lord reminded me of and brought a kind of fresh revelation of this week is that increase can come to you, but prosperity can be kept from you by the thief. And he reminded me of this in the context that people get pay raises, promotions, and they'll get bigger bonuses or bigger commissions or whatever the case may be. They may get increase experientially, financially, but prosperity is still out of their reach. It's taken away from them. Because as we've been talking about the last 3 Sundays in this series, it's harvest time, is the concept and renewing our mind about stewardship. Because faith for increase is almost like automatic. You can take it to the bank. Tithe, give offerings, believe God, increase comes.
Amen.
That's a principle of the law of God. But stewardship has to do with your faithfulness. How do you manage the increase enables the Lord to qualify you and continue you in the aspect of the grace of prosperity, where you're living out 2 Corinthians 9:8 in living color. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. It's you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All sufficiency, all things. That means, Amplified says, having no outside need of outside aid or support, but furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. In other words, every time there's a giving opportunity, you are prepared and you have provision to give.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is the scripture we're going to kind of expand on a little bit more, John 10:10. New Living Translation, the thief's purpose. Everybody say thief.
Thief.
So we got to watch out for the thief. He said, you glossed right over that scripture. He said, but you didn't get it. And he said, matter of fact, a lot of series you didn't get. I mean, we just went through staying in your lane, where we emphasize joy and rejoicing and staying joyful in trials and trouble. Staying joyful in harmony, staying joyful, amen, in serving the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And we got away from it. Now, when he says me, he's talking about the church.
Amen.
Amen. He's talking about us. Amen. Everybody say, that's me too.
That's me too.
Amen. So it has to be an intentionality to our rejoicing, a purpose to our rejoicing. Why? Because to maintain our joy level. Why? Because if the devil can't take your joy or steal your joy, the thief, he can't keep your goods. Your goods are the graces of God. Like healing, like prosperity, like family peace, like family salvation and deliverance. You can't earn these things. They're grace. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, meaning God's will for yours and my life is prosperity. But it's not all automatic, and it's not all up to God. Now, here's the challenge that some people have, is they listen to the world and everybody else, and they think the devil is involved in this because he's a thief. He changes the mindset in the mentality to be grace only. Now, what is grace only? I'm glad you asked. Well, the Jude, let's turn to Jude. Thank you, Brother Rodney, for kind of work with me. We're going to come back to John 10 in a minute. Jude, let's start at verse 1. We'll start reading at verse 1. Go in the new, okay. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, who are called, sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. And mercy and peace and love be what? Multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent, this is James' brother, Jesus' other half-brother. So he's saying he's very diligent. Writing to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to exhort you to contend earnestly for what? Faith. Now, what's grace only concept? That means people are thinking God's got to do everything. I have no responsibilities. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, God gives grace and grace makes, but he requires of us faith to take what grace has made. Everybody say, grace makes.
Grace makes.
Faith takes.
Faith takes.
Grace, faith takes.
Faith takes.
What grace has made.
What grace has made.
What is grace made available? Prosperity.
Amen.
What is grace made available? Healing.
Amen.
What is grace made available? Salvation for you and your entire household. I mean, it extends all the way through your kids.
Amen.
Amen. You can use your faith to stretch out. We said it Wednesday night. Those of you that were here, you can use your faith all the way out to your second, third, first cousin. But we didn't get that. We didn't get that. So we laid our faith down and said, God, you do it. You deal with my child that's running wild. On drugs, smoking dope, selling dope, drinking, going crazy, running away from God. I'm just using those as an illustration, not to think of anybody specifically. But it's your responsibility to use your faith to realize the grace of household salvation and family peace in your own house. But we thinking, God, you're going to do it. Or we use this phrase, let go and let God. Is that scriptural? If God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. Or if God wants to bless me, he's trying to teach me something through this suffering of lack and poverty and insufficiency. Now keep going. One more verse. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness. One translation says lawlessness. King James says lasciviousness. But it's really this word looseness. And deny the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Lord God. So this grace-only teaching or grace-only concept is what the devil brings in. What is he trying to do? Get you to stop contending for the faith. In other words, 1 Timothy 6:12, if you put it that up, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight. What kind of fight? The good fight of what?
Faith.
Like we said Wednesday night, he said, God said it to me specifically, and it hit my mentality on Wednesday as I was preparing for the service. He said, I want the people at TWCC specifically, talking to us, amen, to get their focus back, to get their fire back,
amen.
And to get their fight back.
Amen.
Now, you're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not fighting, things seen. You're fighting things unseen. You're fighting the good fight of faith. In other words, we got to keep the enemy of our soul in the faith realm, the spiritual realm. But his deceptive work and his thievery is to bring us down into the mental realm, the reason realm. And this is this reasoning that we get into where we're thinking, why is this happening? What's taking so long for me to prosper? How come I'm still struggling? How come I'm still hurting? How come things aren't right in my family, in my finances? Because you've been stolen from. And so grace only teaches you that there's only one side to it, and it's only God's side. But you never look at our responsibility. Now, write these things down. Write these two things down. Very critical. These two things down. Two things God will never do for you and me. Number one, he will never receive from you, for you. Healing is a grace that has to be believed and received. In other words, receiver is a taker. Mark 11:24, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you take them and you shall have them.
Uh-huh.
Remember we said, grace makes, faith takes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You've never seen in the word Jesus say, my grace be it unto you. What did he say? Come on, church. According to what? Your faith be it unto you. So he can have prosperity as his will and desire and plan for everybody's life, but you have to take it.
Amen.
You have to receive it.
Amen.
Now, receiving it by faith, that means you act upon it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a faith side to it, but there's also a faithfulness side to it.
Amen.
Come on now. So if the devil can't get you to not tithe, because he's gotten some of you that way, he's gotten you to where you stop tithing or don't tithe and give offerings, he can stop you that way. He can steal prosperity and increase off your life that way. But if he can, you lay your faith down. You don't act on the word. You don't obey the word. Now, let me tell you something. The word has to be obeyed and acted upon immediately. Now, we're going to go through these scriptures probably more in detail on Wednesday night. But in Mark 4 and in Mark 13, it says, when the word comes, Satan comes how quick?
Immediately.
That means as soon as you walk out of that door, get in your car and go home. Where's he coming? But see, he wants us to think that he's not working to steal something from you. He stole a lot of people's joy over the last couple of months. And we've been talking about joy. But the devil says, I just wait to get out of church. Steal their joy. And then all of a sudden you find yourself talking about quitting.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about your crying. You're talking about your pain.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about your problem. You're not talking the promise. You're not rejoicing in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He stole from you.
Mm-hmm.
He can't. God can never receive for you. He's not going to make you take it.
Amen.
He's not going to make you receive from him.
That's good.
You have to receive it. Because sometimes we're waiting for God to touch my body, waiting for God to touch my family, waiting for God to do something with my child, waiting for God to do something with my money. No, he wants you to do something.
Amen.
And then the second thing, he never will do this for you. He will never resist. He will never resist the devil for you. He's done everything he can do about the devil. Now let's turn to James 4:7. James 4:7. Y'all here? Y'all going home? Therefore, submit to God. Now there it is. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Now we said submission is the key to power. Humility is the key to promotion. Gratefulness is the key to progress. Submission is not an ugly word. Sometimes it's viewed as a cuss word. In other words, I say, I'm submitting to God's way, not my own way. Your will, Lord, not my will. And his will is his word are the same. That means if you find it in the word, that means you got the word of God on it, then it's our responsibility to do it. Now, we said this before. Once you hear a word from God, the responsibility lies on you to act upon that word. That's why we encourage people. We record our messages. Thank God for the SAV team because they record it. They put it up, the good recordings online. But then it's your responsibility to go back online and listen to it. Make sure you understand what the Lord wants you to do with that truth. Don't just say, well, that's a great message, but then you lie it down, and we said it before, 48 hours after every message, if you don't act upon it, you lose it. In other words, you don't use it, you lose it. And I even go back and listen to my own sermon because I have to internalize them. I have to absorb them. Why? Because I know that information will perish if it's not acted upon within 48 hours. That means by Tuesday morning, you forgot what I preached on. That means you have to come in submissive to God. That means the key to power, the power to resist is in my submission to the Lord. That means I come in and subordinate myself under the word of God. I subject myself to what God wants, not what I want. Amen. He said, resist. Everybody say, resist.
Resist.
The devil. And he will what?
Flee.
A lot of times you hear people tell about their problems, and not once do you hear the word, the devil came in and did this. Now, I don't want you to be devil conscious, but I want you to watch out for the thief, because his purpose is to steal. That's his first tactic. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Financially speaking, he's stealing your increase. He's trying to keep your harvest away from you. And we think, why is God still got me struggling? What's God? You got that grace only thinking. Your faith is not up, it's down. Your faith is not active, it's dormant. Are you listening to me? All right, let's go to 1 Peter 5:7-9. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Let's give the SAT team a hand. We need the guys. We need them. Record and publish the word with us. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We talked about that in Philippians. Some of us need to go back and listen to the Philippians series. I've had to go back and listen to it because he said you got to apply. Because if you don't have... when pressure comes, worry is coming. And when worry is there, peace leaves. And the remedy to worry is prayer, casting your cares, proper thinking, be sober. That's what it says. That means don't think like you're drunk on your problems. Don't be intoxicated with your personal situation to the degree that you don't even see straight or think straight. It's prayer, proper thinking, and proper responses. Be vigilant. That's your response. Because why? Your adversary, the devil. That means he is a prosecuting attorney. He's there walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. Now, we said let's keep reading. Resist him. What do you do with him? Resist him. How? Steadfast or consistent. Steady. Stay the same. Why? Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, the enemy is coming after everybody.
Yep.
But you think he's just coming after you, and he's got you all tripped up, tangled up, tied up, and tore up. And so he gets you to think it's strange. And when you're thinking it's strange, why is all this happening to me? Why am I just being tormented with sufferings? I got everything. I look around and everything's bad. Well, you listen to the stranger.
Yeah.
When you're thinking it's strange, you've already started listening to the stranger. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to give. Look like nothing get better. Look like never my prayers get answers. What kind of talk is that? That's not from God.
Nope.
Hallelujah. Everybody say two things.
God will never do for me.
He will never receive for me.
He will never resist the devil for me.
He told you to do it. The first activity of the enemy in your life, in my life, is that of a thief. Everybody say, watch out for the thief.
Watch out for the thief.
Now let's go back to John 10:10. Let's look at this a little bit more. Let's start at verse 1, guys. John 10, verse 1. Thank you. John 10, verse 1. All right. Look at it says. Look at verse 1. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who does not enter in the sheepfold by the door. Now, thieves don't come and knock at your front door. Do they?
No.
they climbs up some other way. What do? They come through the back door or they come through the window. Everybody with me so far? The same as a what? So what is Jesus talking about? A thief and a robber. So in other words, let's take this further thought with this verse. If you're not committed to do things, coming to commit it to do things God's way, you're going to do them another way. Now, some people say, I got to prosper another way. I've got to increase another way. And when God says, the way is what my word says. You tithe, you give offerings, and we said even sometimes there's offerings and tithing should be systematic. Sometimes they are spontaneous. The Lord puts it on your heart and moves on your heart and says, we got a need here. I got the resources, God, what you want me to do? And he talks to your heart right then and there, and you act upon it. You instantly obey. Like Deuteronomy 28 says, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, the God talking to your spirit. And then thirdly, sometimes he might have you give sacrificially. That means you have to delay your gratification on what you want or what you desire to put the Lord first.
Amen.
That's stewardship.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Haggai tells us, don't dwell in your sealed houses. Don't fix up your house and the house of God's not fixed up.
Amen.
Don't just minister to your needs. Minister to others' needs. Now, that's a hard concept sometimes people get. But see, with this verse right here, he says you're climbing up some other way. Because most people will publicize social media their little bit of experience of prosperity or increase. Like we said, the indulgences, what they're eating, what they're wearing, what they're doing, where they're going, and how they're leisuring and entertaining. But we ought to be talking about what the Lord's doing.
Amen.
We ought to be talking about what the Lord has done. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. But the thief comes in there and gets you out of your mindset of stewardship and gets you into the mindset of, This is my money. I work hard for this money. I do what I want to. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Everybody say, don't be a thief and a robber. All right, keep going. But he who enters by the door of the sheep is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper, King James says porter, opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, everybody say this. I can
hear the voice of the Lord.
Now, that's a faith statement. That's releasing your faith. You ought to be saying that. I am God's sheep. I can hear his voice. I can hear the voice of my shepherd.
Amen.
He said, and he calls his own sheep by name. In other words, God knows your name.
Amen.
You get intimate and talk with the Lord, he calls your name.
Amen.
Amen. And he doesn't have to call you by your full name, like your mama perhaps did when they was mad. But he just called you by your name. Hey, Ed, what are you doing? He calls me by my short name. Talks to me just like I'm his own. You hear him. It doesn't matter how long you're in the Lord, but sometimes when you hear other stuff, TV, other people that the devil uses to bring in your life to get you distracted or to get you derailed off your focus, and they begin to talk to you. But you should be hearing. Now, that's strange. That's not him. But you're sitting in church and you're hearing the word and you hear a word from God and you say, well, that's him. Or you're in prayer and you hear, oh, that's him. That's my shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. He calls and leads them out. Okay, keep going. Keep going. And him, he brings his own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow who? Him. For they know his voice. Everybody said, I can. Know the voice of the Lord. Clearly.
Clearly.
Hallelujah. Now, what's this devil deception? I can't hear God. I don't know what God wants me to do. Cloudiness, that confusion. You the author of complexity has put, that's the devil, has put confusion in you. You've yielded to confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of what?
Confusion.
You ought not to be confused about what God wants me to do with my money.
Amen.
You ought not to be unclear about whether tithing is optional or not.
Amen.
Giving is optional or not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You ought not to be unclear on whether or not he wants you well in your body. You got to settle on the fact God wants me well, and he's going to tell me how to receive that healing that belongs to me. Hallelujah. That's a faith statement that opens you up to receive from God. But when you try to say, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why. That's a doubt statement, and that's demonic. Amen. Yet they will not by no means follow a stranger, for they what? Flee from him. Isn't that the resistance implication? They flee from him, for they do not know the voice of who? You need to be walking away from strange voices.
Amen.
And strange victimized people.
Amen.
Because you know the old world statement, it's not a Bible statement, but the Bible principle is evil company corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. But the world statement says misery loves company.
Yeah.
You go find other people that are hurting and helpless and hopeless, and you go around and y'all singing that hopeless song. And it's a stench in God's nostrils. Because you're making an indictment against God. Everybody say, watch out for the thief. Don't let him steal your faith. Don't let him steal your focus. And don't let him steal your faithfulness.
Amen.
Keep going. Is y'all getting something out of this? Jesus used this illustration, but they that did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Keep going. Then Jesus said again, most assuredly I say unto you, I am. He's the what?
Door
of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. There's one way. There's not many ways. There's one way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. I'm not a way. I am the way. And we would say it this way. He's the only way. All truth is in Jesus, the Bible says. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The. There's no others. All others are thieves and robbers trying to get you to circumvent the system or circle around the Savior. You're trying to climb in a window to get increase in prosperity. It's not going to happen because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's keep going. Oh, good. You got it right there. I'm sorry. All who ever came before me are what?
Thieves.
Now, notice he's saying it, emphasizing it again and again. Everybody say, watch out for the thief.
Watch out for the thief.
But the sheep did not hear them. Keep going. Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go out and find pasture. Now, here's our verse we brought up that we kind of expanded a little bit on. The thief comes not but except for to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. I have come that they might have what? Life and have it more
abundantly.
So the question I have for you today, what has the enemy stolen from you? Now, sometimes, unfortunately, like I said, people blame God. And he's saying, I've given you the grace. I made it available for you in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's according to your faith, whether or not you received it. And it's by your faith in which you resist a thief that's trying to take it from you. Now, let's look at something else in Ephesians chapter 4. Then we'll receive communion. Hallelujah. Verse 23, Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's why you got to come to church. Because you isolated, independent, out there by your own self, you get to drifting around in your own thoughts, and you be think nobody cares about me. God doesn't love me. Why does God let this stuff happen to me? The absence of problems doesn't mean you're on the right path. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Psalm 34:19, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. John 16:33 says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. He told us in Peter, we read it earlier. The brethren, the saints, all the saints are experiencing the same kinds of sufferings. That means what you're going through is not unique. It's just not you're singled out by the devil somehow. Or God's trying to teach you something somehow. No, everybody else is going through challenges. He said, be renewed in your spirit of your mind. Now, the spirit of your mind in the context of our series, and I'll just briefly mention to it, is stewardship. Because increase, the money test, is the test that you and I have to deal with. In Luke 16, verse 9, if you turn there real quick, Luke 16, 9 through 13, and we're going to go back to Ephesians 4 just after that. Because he said, renewed in your spirit and mind. You need to think that I'm a steward. God holds me responsible and accountable to what I do in managing my money his way. We're called to be wise and we're called to be faithful stewards. And I say unto you, make friends yourself of unrighteous mammon. Then when you fail, that means that you pass away, you may receive into everlasting home. He that is faithful in that which is least. So he calls the money the least. Is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now here's the rub before we read verse 11. Here's the rub. People say, well, when I have more, I'm going to do more.
Yeah.
But Jesus just said right here, you're going to do what you always done when you had little or whether you have a lot. Some people say, well, when I start making six figures, when I start getting comfortable and safe and secure with all this extra money hanging around, I'm going to do more. No, you're going to do the same as you did when you just had $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year. You're not going to do any different if you're making $400,000 a year. Because we said the first test that you have to pass is the stewardship, and stewardship test is money test. Because he said that's the least. That's the first one your faith has to pass. And your faithfulness has to keep. How we handle money and manage money God puts into our hands is what Jesus is talking about here. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, he's talking about money. Mm-hmm. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? These are the graces of God. These are the anointings of God. Keep going. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other one. He will loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? People say, well, I'm not serving money, Pastor, but anytime money calls, meaning the job or something that requires your time and attention because it's money tied to it, you're serving it. In other words, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the what? Kingdom. So in the context of stewardship, we put money, God's projects, and God's program first. Because there's a test. Pastor, I can't afford to do that. No, you can't afford not to. Because he's telling you, your increase will come, one, if you obey God faithfully with your tithes and offerings. And give by faith, motivated by love. Increase come. But then you operate in the grace of prosperity when you're faithful with the increase when it does come. That means your giving should not be declining, flatlining. Amen. If your giving isn't growing, then your faithfulness isn't showing. You didn't pass the money test. First said, Jesus said, money is the least area of trusting God. Verse 10, we read that. Second, Jesus said, using your faithful finances is the least use of your faith. And if you hadn't done that which is least, you won't do that which is greater. That's why he said, you didn't get it. He said, you didn't get it when we talked about going. Because some people say, well, I don't have the money to go bring somebody to church, to go take somebody to lunch. I don't have the money to go out and share my faith. We talked about that at the beginning of the year. I mean, God took me all the way back to the beginning of the year. And said, when he talked about growing, he said, people say, well, I don't know if walk in love because the enemy steals their joy and then they get bitter and they get offended. Because he brings circumstantial resistance to you in the form of circumstances to resist the will of God, to buffet you, and then you say, well, I get bitter, I get angry. And usually the anger is pointing right up here to God.
Yeah.
Why did you allow this?
Right.
What did you do this for? Third, God doesn't ask you for tithes and offerings because he needs your money. He asks you because he wants you to learn to trust him with all your heart. And finances and money is the first step in trusting God in that direction. Because we said money affects your heart, but it also reflects your heart. Money tells the truth about who you trust. And prosperity is not defined in times of plenty, but it's forged in a person's heart in times of lack. That means when you don't have money, when you have not enough, do you trust the one who has more than enough to put you over? Or are you trusting your holding back and keeping back to try to make it enough, you just basically said, God, I don't trust you that you're enough. See, the greatest test you'll ever face is not trouble, heart trouble, brain tumor, you know, back problems. It's the test of prosperity. Because money tells the truth about who you trust. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll close in with these statements. Hallelujah, these scriptures. He said, be renewed in your spirit and mind. That means you need to have a mentality of a steward. That means I'm trusting God's way. I'm trusting God's methods. So here's where people get in a problem. They start making more money, get more money in, and then what happens is they mismanage it. How do you mismanage it? Unauthorized expenditures. Because you got extra money, I'm going to buy everything I've been wanting to get. Because what happens, the thief comes in and gets your mind off of God's way and off of God's will, and he says, oh, you don't have to delay your gratification. Who's the pastor think he's talking to? You've got the credit worthiness and the financial wherewithal to get that. So you go out and buy a new car, clothes, new stuff for your house, and you become a stuffaholic, a statusaholic. I got these nearly shoes, and they're $180. When God had been saying, okay, I need you to sow that extra money. Because the kingdom has need. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means you put God first. You put God's project first. People will go out and spend hundreds of dollars on things they want, but they will tip God in church and only put $20, $25 in church. Or nothing. Why? Because I spent it all on my extra money on what I wanted. And they think, well, God's blessing me. I got new income. I got better income. But no, he gives you more so you can do more. Amen. Not just so you can have more. Yeah. He said there's a lot of money in this church that's mismanaged. Meaning people take their increase and spend it on themselves. We call it a consumption assumption. You're not contributing in it. You're consuming it. That means everything comes in your hands. You're thinking, this is my money. This is for me. This is what I want to do with it. Yeah. And you're failing the faithfulness and the stewardship test. Because you go through dry seasons where we don't even see your offering in a month, 6 weeks, some people. That's not right. And that's not good. Everybody got really quiet. Amen. Amen. Just we got to renew your mind. Verse 24, and put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Everybody say, put away lying. Why? Because the devil is the father of lies. So when you yield to a lie, it's one of the most ungodly, unholy things you can do. You can lie and say, well, I'm doing this, or I'm not going to come, because if you're just doing things on your own and you hadn't put God first, it's not right. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, everybody said, don't lie. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members of one another. Be angry and what? Sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Look at the next verse. Right in the middle of that, he says, don't give place to the devil. Don't let the thief in. Because some your flesh will get angry. How come I can't? How come we don't have that? And God may want to get it to you, but it may be in his time. Ecclesiastes says he makes all things beautiful in his time. So we often said it this way, and I'll repeat it again just to remind you and refresh you. Matthew 6:33 again, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these what? Things will be. So what happens is you violate that stewardship protocol and principle and practice when you add things to yourself and instead of let God add. God reminded me of this this week. He said, you remember when you were learning and growing in these areas? He said, I told you, don't buy a pair of shoes until I release you to receive them. So one time I went 18 months without even buying a pair of shoes. He said, trust me. You go in the store, you put your hand on it or look at them and say, Lord, I want some of these. Give me your desires. And he said, I will give you the desires of your heart. But we stopped operating like that because we got big and big baller, shot caller. I got 5-8 credit cards. I can just charge it up. I can just get it up. And then what happens? Your debt load is so overloaded that you can't even give. Amen. He said, remember when you believed me for a pair of socks? Remember when you believed me? He's talking to me. I'm just sharing it with you, just being transparent with you. Remember when you believed me for underwear and T-shirts? He said, when you start adding to yourself, you get into problems. Because you go from stewardship to ownership, thinking that this is my money. I do what I want to. He said, remember when you used to have to go through the grocery store praying in tongues, believing God, because you wanted to manage the expenditures properly and not overspend it on junk and stuff that's going to sour and spoil at your house and damage your body. I'm just being transparent, and I had to repent for it. He said, you add to yourself, you get in trouble. He said, sometimes when I wanted you to have things, he said, it was a year and a half later, but as I sustained you, I kept your shoes where they didn't tear up. I kept your socks so you didn't wear out, but then it would come a season where he was adding. It was in his time. And some people have spent things and yoked themselves up financially to where now, you know, it's going to be a few years for them to get out unless they ask for God's help and repent. Amen. 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 And that's where we fail that test. See, it's just not the faith for increase. It is the faithfulness for increase. And the devil can't get through the front door because Jesus is the front door. We tell that pretty often. But the back door is how you're managing your money. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to deal with how to catch the thief or how to deal with the thief, wherever how the title comes out. So we're going to talk about specifically how he gets in. The first way he gets in is gets in your mind. Because the mind goes, man's folly. So some of us get to looking at stuff on the internet, and he's constantly pinging you. Yeah. Order, 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 order. You know, Amazon's yelling at you real audibly. Yeah. Hey, you want this. It's a great deal. Next thing you know, you spent up all that money. When God says, I want you not to be need-minded, but seed-minded. Come on, let's stand and thank God. Well, let's read one more verse. Keep going, guys. Let him who stole, verse 28, there it is, stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Why? So he has something to give to him who has need. So we often said you live to give and you give to give. Your giving record is big deal to God. Amen. Lack of generosity disqualifies you for prosperity. And it's important that everybody in this church be prosperous. Amen. But you got to watch out for the three. Come on, stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Thank you.